finish some of these mom-isms. I found some top 10 mom-isms, and I want to see if you guys know what these are. Okay, here, see if we can finish this sentence. Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know. There you go. All right. Here we go. If you don't have something good to say, here's another one. Always wear clean. No, never mind. Skip right over that one. All right. Here's the next one. Close the door. Were you born? All right. Now, this one, I don't know if moms... I think there's some moms are going to know exactly what this means or what this says. The phrase goes, but son, she's such a nice girl. Look at that. Yeah, huh? All right. Well, son, she's such a nice girl. Anyway, a few more here. Let's see, momisms. I've never understood this one. And me being the rebellious and impish little boy that I was, always said, until what? Here it comes. I'm going to give you until the count of three. And I said, count of three, then what? I'm going to give you until the count of three. Okay. Here's a fun one. Don't do that. Someday your face will freeze like that. All right. Here's one that's not just germane to moms. Dads are the most common, I think, at this one. And it says, money doesn't... There you go. All right, a couple more. I'm not just talking to hear. I'm telling you, moms are intelligent creatures. Moms always, you know, don't you love the fact that we're all human? Because we all have fallacies, and moms are not, you know, unlike that. They have a little impish side to them, too, because this is a popular phrase, I think. I hope someday you have kids. Every single lady in the room said that. All right. It's kind of fun. I don't know. Real moms. I have five little recognized facts of real mothers. If these are true, moms say amen. Here we go. Real mothers know that if they can't find the kitchen utensils, they're usually either in the sandbox or dad's toolbox. Amen. All right. Real mothers know that dried Play-Doh doesn't come out of carpets. And gum doesn't come out of hair. Oh, hey, there we go. All right. Okay. Real mothers don't want to know what the vacuum just sucked up. Real mothers sometimes ask, why me? And they get their best answers when a little voice says, because I love you the best. Yeah. Last little recognized fact for real mothers. Real mothers know that a child's growth is not measured by height or by years or by grade. It is marked by the progression from mama to mommy to mom. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Has nothing to do with the message. I just thought those were some fun little things. And, you know, as fun as these things can be, oh, I want to look with you today at some scripture that, I don't know, perhaps it's maybe a non-typical Mother's Day message. I don't know. But I want to look at you today at a particular mom in scripture, the mom named Hannah. Not so much because she had such great accomplishments or because she had such standout leadership qualities, but more so I want to look at this account today to look at Hannah's heart's attitude toward everyday life. Now, the Bible has many passages and has much to say and lots of verses and paragraphs that really give great exampleship of being a godly woman or a godly mom. And I thought about looking at several of those today, such as, women like Sarah. Perhaps Esther, or Mary, or Deborah, or even Lois and Eunice, and you know who they are, the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. Maybe we'll have a stray reference to those today, I don't know. But I believe the Lord guided me when I was studying to our text in 1 Samuel, because I thought about How many churches today are going to go straight to Proverbs 31 and preach on how a mom should be? Well, as I was studying, I looked at that and I thought, you know, I don't know if Proverbs 31 is necessarily an instruction manual for moms. Proverbs 31, if you really look at it and really read it and try to catch the glimpse of what Proverbs 31 is saying, it's really an instruction manual for the husbands. Because this is what moms should be, and this is what real moms are, according to Scripture. This is what a scriptural, a biblical mom is, and husbands and men need to recognize that. But that's not our text today. I believe the Lord guided me back to this first Sam, and he kept bringing me back to it for purposes that, I don't know, maybe only God knows why he brought me to this text today. But as I began to look a little bit closer at this account of Hannah, I began to realize that, you know, there's really some characteristics here that can be explored, and I trust that there'll be an encouragement to all of us today, not just moms. So, men, children, young people, single people, or married, or otherwise, let's all pay attention, and can we pray together today that the Lord will speak to each and every single one of us, because God knows what we all need to hear as we look at this message, A Heart to Model, and three main thoughts of this message: Hannah's vexation, her veneration, and the victory. Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, Lord God, you know that as a man, I can't stand here and adequately preach your word. But Father, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by your love, you have imparted a worthiness to me that only the Holy Spirit can shape and can bring out. And Father, I pray today that it's the Holy Spirit that speaks. Father, not me, for I am nothing but a sinner saved by grace. But Father, your word is perfect. Help me, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that, Lord, as we look into this passage in your perfectly recorded scriptures, in your perfectly recorded word today, Father, that I won't bring any personal opinion or thought that isn't in keeping with the thought of the scripture that you've given to us. Father, I pray that you give us wisdom and understanding as we look to this message this morning, A Heart to Model. May we, Father, be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Lord, shape our hearts, work in us, mold us, and make us as you would have us to be today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've already read through almost all of our scripture passage today. The first verse: now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, Gesundheit, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. No wonder Pastor Smith didn't want to. But as this book begins, we don't get too far into the text that we begin to see some of the hardship, some of the, what I'm calling, the vexation that Hannah had to endure. As we look briefly at these verses, keep in mind that it's not so much the hardship that we're studying, but rather we're setting the groundwork, if you will. We're laying a foundation, if you will, which is going to be the basis for maybe the latter part of the message this morning. Now, we see right at the beginning of verse 2, verse 2 says, and he had, this is Elkanah, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, two wives is not the way God intended it to be. And you can imagine that having two wives at the same time, in and of itself, is going to be a problem. Amen, men? It's okay, you can say amen, because you have one wife and you love your wife. Amen? All right. Well, we can see right away that there's just going to be some strife in the home. There's two wives, first of all, vying for the husband's attention. In addition to that, there's a difficulty in the fact that one wife had children and the other did not. Now, moms, you have an unending love for your children, yes? You would do anything for your children. And I know that there are ladies that can't have or have had difficulty. I think of my grandmother who wanted so much to have so many kids, and she related stories to us through the years that, oh, it just upset her for so many years that God didn't allow her to have what she wanted. I have to believe that not having the children was also a source of discontent and strife in the home. Certainly it was for Hannah. And it's strikingly clear that obviously this is not an ideal home situation. In fact, we read in just a few more verses that this really was a kind of an adversarial arrangement. It says right here in verse 6, and her adversary. So it was not a peaceful home. I just can't believe. Now, Elkanah, I believe, did all that he could. It just seems that it would have been a constant battle. No peace. No rest for the soul, perhaps. No easiness. Always in a tumultuous situation. But as I said, I believe Elkanah, Hannah's husband, who was a Levite, and this is why verse 1 is here, it gives us a bit of a lineage for Elkanah. It shows us that he really was a Levite. He was an Israelite, and he was a devout man. He was a Levite, and he tried to do the best that he could. He was steadfast in his faith. And I believe he was trying to lead his family in the right way. Because Scripture says that he went up yearly, at the appointed time, he went up yearly, year by year, to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And we see, based on Scripture, that he took his whole family with him. Now, the interesting thing is that at this time, they were really kind of bound to a single place and a single time of worship for the masses. They didn't have a church service necessarily every week or three times a week like we have. But every time that there was a gathering at the tabernacle, Elkanah was there. I find it rather interesting, too, to note that in the second part of verse 3, look at verse 3 with me, he says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Well, that seems awful random to stick that in the middle of this passage. God's not random. Amen? There's a reason for it. It's up to us to search it out. It says, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there. Now, we know that God is not random. God is very precise, and he's very perfect, and he is holy, and he is righteous, and he has a purpose for everything that he does. He has a purpose for everything that he says. He also has a purpose for recording for us today his word the way he has. Now, if we think about it for a moment, let's think about Hophni and Phinehas. We know that these two men were not conducting the office of the priest correctly. These two men were corrupt. They were absolutely despicable in the way that they carried out the Lord's business. In fact, they were wicked and deceitful, and the Bible even records, God even records them as the sons of Belial, who knew not the Lord, yet they were there. Now, why is that so interesting, and why is this mentioned here in this passage? Well, I believe it's there to encourage us. Why? How? How does that encourage us? It encourages us because if we look at Elkanah and his family were faithful not because of who was at the tabernacle in terms of the men and the priests that were there. Elkanah was faithful, and he took his family year by year, what did the Bible say, to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord, not the guys that were standing at the gates. It's there to encourage us to say, look, we may or may not agree with everything that every person in the congregation ever says or does, but are you here to worship the congregation or are you here to worship the Lord God in heaven? Amen. It's here to encourage us. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there, but Elkanah wasn't looking at that. Elkanah said, it's my duty to worship God, and I'm going to go and worship God, bar none. What do you face, friends? Well, that's early in the service for that. Yes, it is. What do you face today? What trial do you face? What adversity, what circumstance do you face today? What in unideal situation might you be in? And do you let it keep you from worshiping the Lord God in heaven that loves you enough to sacrifice his own son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf? And in our place. What circumstance, How much does it take, or how little does it take, to keep us from worshiping the Lord God, Jehovah? This man, Elkanah, oh, he had a heart for the Lord despite the circumstances that he faced. He didn't go to worship and sacrifice because of the priests or his friends or for any other reason. The Bible is very clear. It reads, this man went up out of his city, not just across the block. He had to travel, and when I looked it up, it was about, I want to say it was about 10 miles or so. Maybe, no, it wasn't either. It was about 30 miles that he had to travel to go to Shiloh from where he lived. He had to go up out of his city, up into the mountains, and cross the mountain range to get to Shiloh, to get to the tabernacle. It was not an easy trek. It wasn't as easy as hopping in the Ford or the Chevy or whatever it is that you drive and driving 3 blocks to church or even 30 miles from here driving as some do. This was a trek, but it didn't keep him from sacrificing to the Lord. They were bound to a time in a single place. We, by God's grace and because of the righteousness of the blood of Jesus Christ shed on our behalf, have free and complete access at any time, do we not? We can come to the house of God every single time it's open and worship. We aren't bound to a once a year kind of a thing. There are some Christians who will only come to the house of God once or twice a year. And it's a shame. They miss out on so much that God has for them. Friends, we need to have the same kind of heart for the Lord that Elkanah had, to be together in God's house anytime we gather to worship. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do we see the day of the Lord approaching us? Yes, amen, we do, because look at what's going on around the world. It's coming, and it's coming fast. We need to be in the house of God as many times as we possibly can, every time the doors are open. Now we're not talking about Elkanah. Well, we have been. But let's not overlook the heart of Hannah, because that's really the heart that we want to look at today, who year after year after year after year went with her husband and the entire family up to worship at the house of the Lord. And look at what she had to endure. Look with me in our text, verses 6 and 7. Every year they went up to worship, and verse 6 says, and her adversary, this is Peninnah, also provoked her, Hannah, sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, that's Elkanah, as they went up year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so Peninnah provoked Hannah. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. You would think coming to the house of God should be a time of rest, a time of worship, a time that you can forget all the problems at home. But it was at the house of God, it was in the house of worship that Peninnah cranked up her taunting, her picking on, her adversarial actions toward Hannah. This is what Hannah had to face, and yet she was there year by year by year. How long would we continue if we were constantly being taunted or ridiculed or talked about or despised or looked down upon and treated like we were so much less of a person? How long would we continue coming to the very same house of worship? In Hannah's case, she was taunted because she simply didn't have children of her own. And I believe if you look at the way this phrasing goes, looking at even in verse number 4, look at it, it says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. It's an indication to me that there was that much more of a division in this family. Hannah couldn't even partake of the fact that she had perhaps stepchildren. No, she wasn't involved. Elkanah gave to her children, her sons, and her. But it says unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion because he loved Hannah. That's wonderful. But Hannah had no part in the children that she so desired. She had to endure this. How long would we endure this kind of torment? How little does it sometimes take for us to take the position, well, I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel well. I have a little cough. It's I'm tired. I've worked all week. All right, admit it. How many moms and dads have said, I am just so tired because it's been a long week? I've said it. Amen. But friends, we don't let that get in our way of coming to the house of the Lord, because we're not here just to fellowship with one another. That fellowship is wonderful, but we're here to get refreshed and revived from God. Amen? I don't believe that Hannah even felt as if she was part of the family. But Elkanah loved her, and he did the best that he could to try to encourage her, but the vexation against Hannah finally got to her. It got to be too much, and she finally was at the point of she couldn't even eat. She could do nothing but cry, for she was completely devastated and despondent. Have you ever gotten to that point where you just feel like you cannot go on? I believe that's where Hannah was. Which brings us to our second point, the veneration. How does that bring us to our second point? Look at the heart of Hannah. Given these conditions, how would we respond? Hannah responded in the only way that she could. Hannah had a heart for God. She poured out her heart to the Lord. Now, God knew what she was going through. Yes, absolutely God knew. The Bible says it was the Lord that shut her womb. God knew exactly what she was going through. Verse 5, it said it was the Lord who had done this, but rather than to do as so many people do, rather than even some who profess to be Christians and get angry with God, rather than do that, friends, Hannah embraced the fact that God is God. She embraced the fact that God loves us and God has a plan for each one of us and knows how to make his plan come to fruition, regardless of how we feel about it. Hannah had such a love and a respect for God and for his work that she came to the spiritual place where she gave everything she had to God. She poured out her heart. She came to the place of worship. She cried and didn't even take so much as time to eat for herself. She couldn't. She had to cry to God. She gave herself over to God's sovereignty, to God's will for her life. Now, yes, she asked for a child, but she didn't demand it. She didn't go away saying that if God doesn't give me the child, I'm never coming back here again. Because, friends, God is still God. God has his will. In short, God venerated. Now, that's a big word. Hannah venerated God Jehovah. Now, what does veneration mean? Thank you for asking. As found in Webster's 1828 dictionary, veneration means, Mark it says, the highest degree of respect and reverence. It is respect mingled with a degree of awe. It's a feeling or a sentiment excited by the dignity and the superiority of a person or by the sacredness of his character, and with regard to place, by its consecration to sacred services. Now that's a big, long definition that says veneration was that she had the utmost respect and honor and reverence toward God. She was not going to let this physical part of her rule how she felt toward God. Hannah had this kind of respect and reverence. I believe that God is challenging us in this passage today, friends. God is challenging us and exhorting us to evaluate our own reverence toward our Almighty God and Creator. How much do we love God? Will we? Will I venerate my God and Master over everything in my life so that we, friends, like Hannah, can abandon our own thoughts of what is right and fair and just and put God first in our hearts no matter what happens? Can we do that today? Even though Hannah was, as verse 10 says in our text, it says, and she was in bitterness of soul even though she was bitter in her heart about the situation, she was not bitter toward God. She allowed herself only to lean upon God, Jehovah. Which brings us to the last point today, the victory. As we have seen, even as Christians, we can and we will go through some rather unscrupulous sufferings and some extreme difficulties from time to time, friends. For Hannah, it was about being a mom. What it might be for you and me, I can't tell you. I can't even venture to guess. Only God knows what His plans are for you and for me. Whatever it might be, however, whatever God has in store for us, God has His reasons to allow these things in our lives. Examine your own hearts. What is it that you have not abandoned because God might not be treating you the way you think He should? We're here every week. We worship three times a week. We come when there's special revival meetings. We come when there's just special things going on in fellowship. That's wonderful. Praise God that you're here. Why are you here? Are you here because it's nice to get together with your friends? Or are you here so that God can give you a victory? Perhaps not the way you think, but He will give you the victory. We need to be refreshed. We need to come and bring our cares to God. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. As God has recorded for us an example, if we will search out the example, He's recorded, oh friends, there's example after example after example after example of sufferings in the Bible. There's example after example of those that were treated wrongly and yet relied upon God alone. If we will study out these examples, friends, God will encourage and sustain us until we realize, like Hannah did, the true victory in our trial. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Regardless of circumstances, regardless of trials, come seeking God. What we need to realize is that if we are to have true victory in our lives, now, Hannah's victory was she wanted the man-child so she could get out from under this persecution from Peninnah. But she got more than that. What we need to realize is that we need to get to the place where Hannah was, in that to receive the blessing that we seek, we need to commit the self-same desire that we have back to God. What is the victory that you are seeking today, and why are you seeking that victory? Just to be out from under the persecution? Or are you going to seek the victory so that you can, like Hannah did, give the blessing of the victory back to God? Hannah wanted for so long to have children. And God knew Hannah's heart, and God would give her the desires of her heart. But you see, friends, God needed to prepare Hannah for a greater victory than just having children. Because God's plan would include delivering the nation of Israel, delivering the entire nation through the guidance of His prophet Samuel, Hannah's son. God had a bigger picture in mind, and He had to prepare Hannah so that Hannah would be willing to give that son back to God so that God could work with him to save the entire nation. If Hannah wasn't prepared to give the blessing back to God and allow God to teach and to train and to use Samuel according to His own plan, then I dare say that, friends, Hannah would have not realized the little victory that she wanted in having a child. I don't know. God had His plans, and God gave her the son. We could speculate all day long about what the Bible says or doesn't say, and well, what if it didn't happen the way the Bible says it did? Well, friends, can I tell you that speculation like that is only going to lead to one thing, and that's going to lead to doubt of the Word of God. Well, what if that didn't happen that way? Well, then what if God doesn't work with me the way the Bible says? Well, then what if salvation is really not the way that God said it was? And what if there's some other way? Friends, it leads to doubt, and that's sinful, and it ought not to be. Amen? Friends, don't speculate about what the Bible doesn't say. Read what God says. He said it, and He said it the way He did for a purpose. And we can get our encouragement and all that we need from that. If you read the rest of this chapter, we're not today for time, but if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find that God did reward Hannah, as Hebrews 11:6 says, because she did not turn away from God because of adversity. She ran toward God, and she believed God, and she diligently sought God year after year after year in the midst of these persecutions, and diligently sought Him and was prepared to use God's answer to her prayer. She was prepared to use that to glorify God. She vowed to God, and because God knew her heart, He knew that she would follow through on her vow. Because He knew her heart, God honored her request. Read with me, if you would, just at the end of this chapter. Look with me, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and looking beginning in verse 24. The Bible says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and she brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And we worship the Lord there. You see, Hannah received her victory in that she was blessed by having a child. I believe that she also received a greater victory in learning by profound experience that God is able to do, as Ephesians 3:20 says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I believe that Hannah learned by this experience that God is so much more than just, "Answer my prayer, God, thank you." God is so much more than that. Friends, we need to get that perspective of God. We need to reclaim and regain that perspective of God's holiness and righteousness and sovereignty in our lives. Amen? And then listen to Hannah's prayer. And I close with this today. Listen to Hannah's prayer, and may God teach us, and may God speak to us with these words, looking at the very first part of chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "And Hannah prayed and said, Oh, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. There is neither any rock like our God." And verse 3 says, "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." May God give us the kind of heart that Hannah had today. May God help us to seek Him, to seek His will, no matter what happens, according to God's will. Amen? Let's pray today. Father in heaven, Lord, this is certainly not what I would consider a typical Mother's Day message in honoring moms, but, oh God, the Word of God is so powerful here, and it speaks to my heart, and God, I'm convicted in the way that I have conducted myself over the years, Father, as a Christian. I've not always been steadfast, and I've not always been faithful. Dear God in heaven, I struggle with that even today sometimes. To be faithful to the whole counsel of the gospel. God in heaven, won't you work mightily in this place today? You have said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst among us. Father, we are gathered here today together in the name of God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, may your Holy Spirit have your full work and way in our hearts this moment and this hour. Father God, teach us by this example of Hannah. Teach us, Lord, by the example in your word. Help us today to understand. Give us good wisdom, clarity of understanding, Lord, that we might go forth from here excited, venerating yourself, venerating Jesus Christ, holding you with such high regard and reverence that we think not about anything that happens to us, but only that we can use it to glorify you. May that be our heart's desire today. Father, you have said throughout so many places in Scripture that you know what we have need of. Father God, work in our hearts this morning. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I would ask you, Christian, have you given yourself, like Hannah did, with complete abandon to God's will in your life? Have you given yourself over regardless of any circumstance, any difficulty that you have had or are having or will have? Abandon your own thoughts of what's just and right and give yourself to God Almighty. Christian, may I pray with you? Yes. I am right there with you, friends, because God knows that I have not always abandoned my own self for God's glory. Friend, if you are not a Christian today, friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, oh, there is no better time than right now to give yourself over to Jesus Christ. He died in your place and on your behalf. He stands as the mediator between you and a holy and a just God so that you don't have to pay the price for your own sin. Jesus Christ paid that for us. If you don't know Jesus Christ today as your own personal Lord and Savior, may I pray with you. Slip up a hand, and Lord, I will pray with this soul. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, it's a difficult message to hear sometimes, but it's so needful for us. Father, it is by your grace that you give us these kind of examples, and by your grace that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. May your will be accomplished here today. As Diane quietly plays on the piano today, I would give you a moment as your heads are still bowed and your eyes are still closed. We'll have just a moment of an invitation. If you care to bring to the foot of the cross today, come to this altar, kneel before your holy and your just God, and give him yourself completely today. The time is now. Don't delay. Satan loves it when we delay. Satan loves it when he can cause doubt in our own hearts. Don't give him that place. The Bible says, give not place to the devil. Let the Lord help you today. God in heaven, help me. Father in heaven, we believe and we trust. Help thou our unbelief when we don't abandon ourselves completely in every situation to you. There is no merit to the idea that we can keep calm because we got this, as the saying goes today. God in heaven, we don't have it. But God, we have you as our Father. And we can cry unto you, and you will take care of us because you love us. Friends, if you want to come today, the altar is open. We'll not close necessarily. We're not going to belabor it. But the opportunity is always here. In your own hearts, go to the Lord and abandon yourself completely to his will today. Amen. Father in heaven, once again, as we dismiss this hour, Lord, it's been so precious to hear your word. It's been so precious to have your word speak to our hearts. And may we, like Hannah, have a heart that endures whatever your plan might entail for us. Whatever you have included in your plans. Father, you've promised that you know the thoughts you have toward us and that they are thoughts of good and not evil, that we might have an expected end. Oh, Father, give us that encouragement today. Just as Hannah received encouragement from the man of God saying, go your way, the Lord has heard your prayer. May your spirit speak to us today and help us to go our way, knowing that, Father, if we pray believing, that you'll hear our prayers as well and heal us according to your will. Father in heaven, accomplish your will today. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for our mothers today. May we go from this place rejoicing in what we have in Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you and praise you in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, Amen. And amen. Happy Mother's